truthfully, what happens is, as children grow up, we start to educate them progressively from the waist up. And then we focus on their heads, and slightly to one side.
I think in the old days, you know, you were better off. Because nowadays, they're all specialists. Everyone's becoming better and better, and less and less. And eventually, someone's going to be superb at nothing.
Our education system has mined our minds in the way that we've strip-mined the earth for a particular commodity. And for the future, it won't serve us. We have to rethink the fundamental principles on which we're educating our children.
We're not here to tell everybody that they're wrong and we're right. We're not saying that we have all the answers, but we'd like to present a different way of looking at it.
Okay, so we're back with Leo Chin. And we're going to be continuing this series, looking at Chin's upcoming interview for becoming a professional teacher of the Chinese language overseas. Chin, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you.
In your opinion, how should you teach your first lesson to a new class? How can you make your lesson one a success? What would you pay attention to, particularly in your first class? So how would you teach your first lesson to a new class? Always important, of course,
teacher. You give the students a first impression. First impression is very important. Mm. And also, this is a time for you to set up a very good relationship with your students. Mm. You really got to prepare it very well. Yeah, self-introduction and also design some interesting game Even according to what kind of students you will teach, maybe they are kids, maybe they are adults. Kids and adults use different teaching methods. And if possible, talk to the... if possible, do research before you teach what kind of students they are.
Mm.
What do they like?
Yeah.
What's the Chinese label are they? And what kind of textbook are they use?
Mm.
And if they're, do they like Chinese? Do they like Chinese culture? Yeah, you got to know, sort all of them and design. You can design a wonderful class for them.
Mm, wonderful. Right. Good response. And I think also in that, like at the beginning of any teaching class for young students of most ages, to have a very much set down your classroom management style, your strategy, you know, your norms, your rules, your procedures.
Mm.
That certainly needs to come through in the first few classes. I would say, touching upon it in your first class, you could also do as well. But again, I think in today's world, we really need to feel like the students are interacting and, you know, are their own teacher in a way. So, you know, we're certainly discussing norms and procedures and rules, have the students interact and come up with what they feel as a group that we should as a team stick to.
Mm.
You know, we shouldn't do that. That should be allowed. That shouldn't be. What's the consequences?
Mm.
These things perhaps could be touched on, certainly in the first few lessons for sure. And a good one that I really like is, because it's all about getting to know each other, right?
Mm.
The relationship's key.
Yeah.
Is to have like a quiz where the teacher, like yourself, will set up a PPT with like 10 facts about you or 20 facts about you. And you split the class into, I don't know, into two groups or teams, because everyone likes a good game. And they have to say, is this fact true or false? So you could say, oh, I was once a famous Tai Chi teacher in China, and I won five gold medals or something like this. It could be true or not, but they have to work out what's true or not. So through that, they'd have fun and they'd be surprised by some of the things that maybe you've achieved. And again, the students can even do that with themselves as well, make it a bit shorter. So again, like you said, make it fun and exciting, and most importantly, get to know each other before getting down into the hardcore teaching element. Yeah. Okay, wonderful. Maybe as a Chinese teacher as well, having something they can say in Chinese if they're very beginners as they come out of the class would be lovely, wouldn't it? Give them something easy to learn quickly in their first class as a language student. When you teach abroad, should you use English or the local language? What do you think of using English or the local language in your class? We did kind of touch upon this earlier, didn't we?
Similar, but it's for students right now. Ask me, ask as a teacher. As a teacher, from my point of view, if you teach Chinese, try to speak more Chinese. Mm. Yeah, if necessary, speak English. Try to speak more Chinese. If the students really can't understand and you can speak English and people can understand English, use a little bit English. And later, when the students' Chinese improve, you use less. Use more Chinese.
I'm just wondering, if you went to a teach in a school somewhere in the world which, you know, they didn't speak good English or Chinese, what would you do then? It'd be quite difficult, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You'd imagine English would be the conduct in language.
Try to communicate with them with a simple thing, you know.
Or if you went to Russia...
Start with simple.
If you went to teach in Russia...
Yeah. It would be very difficult.
Yeah, and they didn't speak Chinese or English... That would be quite difficult, wouldn't
it? Quite difficult.
Translate
Start with some very basic one. Yeah, start with something they understand. Yeah, you know, start with picture or movie, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a way it helps them to... Sometimes if you watch a movie, the cartoon or something like that, even though it's not your own language, you can understand, right?
That is true, yes. Yeah.
Start with this.
How would you organise an activity in the class? What would you pay attention to when you organise an activity in the class?
An
open question.
Yeah. I will... divided students into different groups according to, you know, put different Chinese level to the same group, not the same level to the same group.
Mm, differentiated instruction,
And also the different people, if they are from a different background, put them, not the same background, put them together.
Okay.
Separate them to the different groups and give them specific tasks to do. Everyone has their own tasks and each group have a leader to supervise this. Yeah, always give them the specific
roles and responsibilities.
And after this, and then to do, I think this is an effective way to do the...
I agree. Of course, depending on...
What kind of activity?
Yeah, and the class and students. But I think also before we do anything, you would want to pay attention to the actual aim of the activity, how it links into the lesson's overall objectives and goals for that class. And of course, it must be linked in some way. Yeah. Again, that all comes down to planning, doesn't it? Good old planning as a teacher. And I know all the teachers out there now listening, I'm sure you do lesson plans for every class. Even though if they are in your head, the teachers I'm sure tend to have some type of framework to everything they're doing, even though it might not be on a 5-page Word document. What would you do if someone doesn't really participate in a class activity? What would you do if someone didn't really participate in a class activity?
You got to know why. Maybe because your class is very difficult. Maybe it's too easy. Or maybe he or she has no interest in doing that.
Maybe he had a bad experience at home in the morning. He or she's not really there in the class.
Try to solve this.
So how would you find out?
If all if all students take part in and there's someone not there, because when I was in Australia, we had a whole day, Chinese culture, whole day in Australia school. There's a class, we divided them to three groups. Each group should be have some students, but there are three or four students. They just stay in the corner of the classroom. They do nothing. So because my group is drama, there's a director there. He managed the group very well, so I have the time, spare time, to go to them, ask them, why you do not join any of this? You see, they don't have interest in to do fashion show. They have no interest in to do drama. So I say, do you have interest in to do kung fu? They say, oh, I have. Okay, follow me to do some basic skills. They like it.
Mm.
They really like that. Like to do that.
Yeah, ascertain what's the reasons that the student's not participating, and find some ways, strategies to integrate them more. And of course, there is many, but I think the most important thing is the teacher needs to be aware of their students and you know, their backgrounds and what's going on a day to day basis. I think a good teacher would be able to do that. Mm. Certainly, I think you would agree that going up directly in the class and maybe trying to find out all the answers isn't going to really come through as being the best thing to do. But again, depending on the circumstance, you could walk up to them and say, hey, Charles, everything okay? Mm. What's happening? You know, you're working on something, and just try and gauge the situation there. And we refine the processes and evaluate how maybe we could improve those activities. In a text, it is said that Chinese are still using telegrams to contact business partners. If you are the teacher, how can you explain this to your students? In a text, it said that Chinese are still using telegrams to contact business partners. If you're the teacher, how can you explain this to your students?
Actually, nowadays, no one uses telegraphs to contact their business partner, right?
Telegrams,
Maybe it's in a rural area. There's no mobile phone, TV. But in the textbook, maybe because the material is too old. It's too old. It's not the updated one. The textbook is not the updated one, or there's maybe two occasions. One occasion is because of the textbook is very old. Another one is because some rural area there's no cable for internet, and also no mobile phone, no telephone.
I think that's a good answer. And you can always use this point to expand on other vocabulary that you could use for communicating, so they can learn some other things too, so you can enrich that question. Mr. Sun used discussion in teaching in a college. He was criticised, though, by the dean of the faculty for laziness. What would you do if you were Mr. Sun? So Mr. Sun used, a discussion activity, or a lot of them, to teach in college, and he was criticised by the dean of the faculty for laziness. What would you do if you were Mr. Sun in this situation?
This is a communication. Need to communicate with the dean of the faculty.
Mm.
What kind of teaching method they expect, and also explain them why do you use discussion in your class. The reason, and also ask the you got to know why the dean feel you are very lazy. What kind of goal of the teaching goal the dean set up for the Chinese course of the college? after this, you may do a little bit change your teaching plan to meet the needs of the dean of the faculty. Yeah, you can also ask students, do they like it? If they like it, why don't you use discussion? Maybe the purpose of the Chinese course is not focused on reading and writing. Mm. Yeah, so you use discussion. But if the main goal of the teaching Chinese in this college is to improve their four skills, like reading, writing, listening, and speaking, you got to, maybe you will change your teaching method, not only discussion, yeah, use some other method.
Yeah, I agree with all those things. Mm. I think one of the key points you said was to actually ask the students. I think, if the teacher, Mr. Swin, is seeing the language ability of his students progress, then you would say that part of his method of instruction, which is to use discussion, is obviously quite useful and positive. On the basis of laziness, I think, which is part of this question, I would say, again, if there's positive benefits from this in the learning language sense, then this should be clearly expressed and defined to the dean of the faculty for this. So, yeah, lots of good bits in there. As you say, communication is key. I would be surprised if the dean accused him of being lazy.
Yes, I was quite
faces
curiosity
lost there. Yeah.
Of this. Why?
Yeah. Well, you know what they say, curiosity killed the cat. You and another teacher are going to prepare a project. What role do you need to play in this project? You and another teacher are going to prepare a project. What role do you need to play in this project?
It depends what kind of the project is.
Mm.
But for me, any project, you need plan it. You need to communicate with each other and decide what kind of things you will do, what kind of things of your other teacher will do. You got to cooperate with each other.
Mm.
Communication and cooperation is very important in the project, right? If you want to get all the project done, plan it, and communicate, and cooperate.
Yeah, and again, what's the main goal and the aim of the project? What's to be learnt? What type of standards, objectives based on the curriculum, maybe of the Chinese course it's trying to teach? And then, of course, realising which roles you're going to take and your partner is going to take, and also who else is involved. It might not just be the students, it could be a whole school thing. The parents could also be involved, even the local community. So yes, as you said, plan. One of those open-ended questions, I think, there. So very good. Your students asked you, why my Chinese friends always ask me about some private questions, such as, do you have a girlfriend? How do you respond? So your students who are learning Chinese with you ask you why their Chinese friends are always asking them about private questions, such as, do you have a girlfriend? How would you respond to the students in this sense?
It's about culture difference. In China, if people care about you, they always ask you everything about you. They want to know more about you. They want to give you suggestions about all of your life.
Yeah.
That is
even if you've never met them before.
No, friends.
Yeah, but even if you haven't met them before. We talked about this, didn't we? You have your baby outside and a lady will come up to you and they'll go, excuse me, you need to put some clothes on them or take them out of the sunlight. That's the point that you're saying. They care about you, yeah?
Yeah, they care.
Even though they don't know you.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's culture difference.
So altruistic.
No, it's culture difference. To culture difference, I think we can't judge it's right or wrong. Mm. We just understand, because in your culture, it may be wrong, but in their culture, they feel it's correct. It's they always do that in their culture. But you know, in other cultures, they may feel, oh, it's quite bizarre, right? But I know in Western culture, people are more pay attention to their privacy, such as their salary, their age, their marriage status. It's their privacy. You have made friends with them for a long time. You are not. They are not expected you ask this kind of question, right?
Well, I mean, I feel, you know, to ask, for example, the question says, do you have a girlfriend? I mean, it's kind of a thing that I think maybe in the West, in my perspective, you would ask quite freely, actually, especially if you know them. But probably maybe not if you've just met them. For example, there's always the classic when the, you know, Chinese person asks a foreigner, how much money do you make? And they've only just met them. I mean, that would be kind of a bit faux pas, even if you knew them. To ask them, but in China it's straight down the line, how much money do you make? So in that sense, that's just sheer curiosity, isn't it? That's not care. I mean, you don't care, you're not caring for them by asking them how much they earn every month,
China,
are you?
People get used to ask this kind of question. When I had a foreign friend, first foreign friend when I was a student, she was a teacher in our college. I asked her directly this question. I can't feel it. She felt very embarrassing. I didn't know why at that
time. What did you ask?
I said, what is your salary?
Yeah. Well, there you go. So it's ingrained in the culture. So, but why did you ask that? Was it a kind of just to get to know you thing? I mean, were you really interested in how much she earned, or... you know, are you that obsessed by money that you need to know what the person next to you is earning?
Not obsessed to money, but just want to know that.
But why?
I don't know. It's just
change?
In there.
Yeah, it's in there. I like that. It's just
in there. Just want to know.
Yeah, but you know, like you ask someone, you know, what do you study? What are you interested in? What do you do in your free time? You're getting to know someone. By asking, you know, their personality, for example, their character, but by asking someone how much they earn every month, what are you getting from that?
You know, maybe you know...
I don't know, that's why I'm asking you.
Maybe, for me, I didn't think about this question, but for me, I always want to ask people, how, what is your salary?
But
how much does this cost?
Okay, but what would you... gain from, you know, you ask questions to learn things, right?
Curiosity is one thing. Another one thing is you want to know exactly what kind of, maybe the social status.
So how to treat them.
He or she
and...
is. Something like
that.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah,
so that's just in you, yeah?
Yeah.
So there you go, listeners. It's just in Chinese people that they have to ask that question. And from it, they may judge many things where you're based in terms
but
of
right
the
now,
economic hierarchy.
Yeah, actually, right now, this kind of, you know, inclination changed because after China opening up, there are a lot of... joint venture, the company come to China. People, influenced by the Western idea, they are not likely to ask you this kind of question.
Yeah, I think also, Chin, going back to the actual question and point, that it's, you know, a little bit about privacy and
privacy.
You know, why do my Chinese friends ask such private questions? I think also going back to culture in China. So we've touched on this before in previous episodes of Chan Jedi, is that, you know, in China over the last, say, century or 50 years, a lot of people live very closely together.
Yes.
And in that sense, they know a lot about each other. It's quite difficult to have secrets, really, when you're living that close. So these questions, again, might be very, like you say, you're not really thinking about it. It's just very normal. It's in you. And so also when we talk about salary, you know, if we come from the idea of communism, you know, back in the day, everyone earned the same thing. You know, it was probably quite normal to just say, oh, so how much are you earning? And they'd probably say, well, X amount, and that would kind of be the same, and then you'd move on, yeah?
Yeah.
It was, so it's that's kind of come through again, much like sometimes I think, you know, Nietzsche Fadlamar, have you eaten?
Yes.
Everyone asks you that.
Yes.
Maybe because, you know, back in
where
the day...
Where are you going?
Right. Okay. I was always thinking back in the day that, you know, food, they, obviously in Chinese history, had some problems with food scarcity. And a lot of people didn't have food to eat.
Mm.
So maybe, you know, out of care, you would ask Nietzsche Fadlamar, have you eaten? Mm. And of course, those things, today everyone's got far too much to eat in China, but they're still inside the culture.
Yes.
Just those unconscious questions.
Yes.
So my point to the listeners would be, don't be taken aback or be offended by this. It's just the culture, like you would say to the student here.
Yeah.
You know, this
culture
is
difference.
Normal. It's not meant to, it comes from care or just...
Yeah.
Completely unconscious behavior.
Yes, it's for Chinese. It's not privacy. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's not private.
It's not privacy.
Not private at all.
Yeah.
Happily talk about that. But for example, you know, in China, some things are private. I mean, sex, for example.
Yes,
we, I would say, the West talk more openly about sex. Than China certainly.
Yeah, but
would.
In China, people do not talk about that.
Yeah.
To friends or in public place.
Yeah. So,
it's
be careful
opposite.
With that, listeners.
It's opposite.
Maybe if a Chinese friend said to you, how much do you earn? You could then reply and then you could ask a question, oh, how many times did you have sex last week? And see the reaction. Maybe the Chinese person would feel what it's like to be a foreigner in that situation.
Would be very embarrassed.
Yeah. Okay.
You said, oh, are you... crazy or are you not?
Which is exactly what I think a foreigner would say when a Chinese person asks them, how much do you earn every month? Yeah. So anyway, there you go. The best thing to do is laugh about it. We like to laugh about it, don't we, Shin? Mr. Law is teaching Chinese in a British school. All the students in this class are required to take Chinese HSK exam, but half of the students failed in this exam. The parents complained about this. What would you do if you were Mr. Law? So he's teaching Chinese in a British school. A lot of the students failed the HSK exam, half of them actually. The parents complained. What would you do if you were him?
It's related to communicate with parents. Before you communicate with parents, you got to know why there are half of the students fail the HSK exam. Mm-hmm. Actually, if the students want to get a high score or pass the test, it depends on several reasons. One, the teacher. Do you use the right teaching method? Do you use the right material to teach students? Second, students. Do students use enough time to prepare the test? Do they work hard enough? And also, do the parents support them, you know, help them to, maybe supervise them to do some homework, things like that. So you got to know why. Maybe, after you know why, and also... you will check the students. You got to know every one of your students, what's his strength in, what's his weakness of their Chinese level. And then after you get all of those informations, you talk to the students you talk to the students' parents. What kind of things you will do, what kind of things they will help, what's the reason for the students they haven't passed the exam.
I like that. A lot of good tidbits in there. And I also feel to maybe look at half of them did pass.
Mm.
So why did half of them pass? What methods were perhaps those 50% students doing? That the other 50% weren't. Perhaps there's some differences there that can be learned from.
Yeah.
But I think because the parents are complaining, they're the ones that need to be communicated with. So maybe you could hold an out-of-school meeting with the parents and the students, and we could go and, you know, could go over what happened and what you feel are the reasons, and then obviously to move forward with a positive strategy.
If you enjoy listening to the China Jedi podcast and want to get involved, either by asking a question, expressing your opinion, good or bad, light or dark, or even appearing as a special guest, then get in touch by emailing our team at info@chinajedi.com. That's info@chinajedi.com.
May the smile be with you.